Our psalm reading this morning is Psalm 84. Hear the word of the Lord. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord, God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me, please? Almighty God, we thank you for gathering us together, us, your people, your church. We pray that you will enlighten our hearts and our minds. Help us to hear these words as you would have us hear them. Help us to learn. Help us to be inspired. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the first letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. This is the Apostle Paul writing to his young protege, Timothy. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. This is the word of the Lord. It's hard to believe that school has started. Next weekend is Labor Day weekend already. And fall is close at hand. Where did the summer go? And that also means that as we approach the beginning of September, it is the beginning also of a new church year. And it seems to me that this is a perfect time, as we approach a new church year, it's a perfect time for us to stop and reflect just a bit on why we exist as a church. And I'm not speaking just of this church, not just the Presbyterian Church of Floyd, but the Church Universal, the Church of Jesus Christ. Why do we exist? You know, as our society becomes increasingly distracted, the responsibility for those of us who choose to publicly profess Jesus Christ as Lord becomes even more crucial and important. For me, this is a challenging time to be in pastoral ministry, but it is also an exciting time. It is a time when my faith is strengthened as I observe the Holy Spirit at work, and I realize that I am not expected to have all of the answers for a troubled world, but I am expected to have the faith to trust God. Change has always been a part of history, even in ancient biblical times. So when things look challenging today, because of all of the change that is taking place in our world and in our church, I must return to God's word for understanding and guidance. But most of all, I must remain strong in my faith. As a church, we must remain strong in our faith. We need to ask God's will for us as a body. And we need to keep in the forefront of our minds the purpose for which we exist. Our confessions tell us that our purpose is to love God and enjoy Him forever. Love God and enjoy Him forever. Now, while those words were written many years ago, I believe they are still true for today. If we are to love God and enjoy Him forever, then we need to know God at a deeper level. We need to be in fellowship with God. We need to be in communication with God. We need to understand our role in carrying out God's kingdom on earth. And to accomplish all of those things, fellowship, communication, and understanding, we need to know Jesus Christ as Lord. It was Jesus, after all, that came as God incarnate so that we might know Him personally. When He walked the earth as a man, Jesus gave us the ability to relate to Him in a way that we can understand and feel. God is no longer this vague mystery of a higher power that is way out there somewhere, but rather Jesus came as God on earth so that He might walk among us and we might know Him. We might come to recognize Him and His teachings. And most importantly, we need to learn to love Jesus. We can feel His love. If He walked among us as a man here on earth, then surely we can come to know Him in a way that is familiar to each of us. You know, we know what love feels like. Parents know what love for children feels like. Husbands and wives know what love for each other feels like. Friends know what love for a special friend feels like. And that is the love that we can have for God through our relationship with Jesus Christ. But you know, it can actually go much deeper because God is love. For us to experience and enjoy that degree of love for God through Jesus, it will be my prayer for this coming year that we truly come to know and understand Jesus in the deepest way that is humanly possible. It means that we need to understand His place in God's kingdom, that we need to understand Him in His humanity, that we need to understand His teachings, and that we need to understand our redemption with God because of Jesus' death and resurrection. It is a story of unconditional love. Our ability to know God through Jesus is not only possible, it is the reason for His life. He is the great mediator. He is the one who knows us and knows God at intimate levels, and He offers to bring us together. This morning, we heard the Apostle Paul once again addressing the young Timothy, his dear friend and fellow believer. And as we know, Paul had taken Timothy under his wing to mentor him and to love him as a spiritual father to a son. And Paul is helping Timothy to know and understand Jesus in the role of mediator. And today he is talking about being in communication through prayer. Paul is emphasizing to Timothy the utmost importance of prayer if we are to call ourselves Christians and if we are going to gather together in the name of Christ for the purpose of worship. When we gather together, as we are this morning, we should be encountering God on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ and for all people throughout the world. The Apostle Paul put prayer first for two very good reasons. First, because prayer focuses people's hearts and eyes on God. When we are gathered for worship, we acknowledge that God is in our midst. We are aware of God's power. And second, prayer means that we get our own humanity in perspective. We recognize that we are human and God is God. But yet, we choose to come to humbly bow and to worship God in all of his power and grace because he wants to know us personally. As Paul continues his call to prayer, he uses four words to describe the total scope of prayer. In verse 1 this morning, you heard, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone." Now that first word, which our translation says is requests, in the ancient text can also be interpreted as petition. Petitions are requests that we make of God. This refers to prayer focused on special needs, oftentimes needs that are experiencing personally. We are asking God to act and to intervene. But the generic term prayers, as you heard me tell Bennett and Lathan this morning, that Paul is using here, the word prosuke, is a form of worship. The Greek word prosuke, which is the act of worship that should accompany prayer. And this word calls to mind those times we set aside to come into the Lord's presence, to worship him and to spend time at his feet. Every believer should have that time when we go before the Lord without distraction, without hurry, and when we just spend time feeling God's presence. Intercessions are the needs of others that we raise up before the Lord. This refers to bold praying on behalf of others. When we pray for God's healing for others, when we pray for others' safety or blessing, we are interceding on their behalf. And hopefully, much of our prayer time is spent in this way, praying for others. And the fourth word that Paul mentions is thanksgiving. It is a spirit of gratitude to God. No prayer is complete until we spend time thanking God. We are to thank him for all that he has done in our lives. We should thank him for his presence as he hears us pray. We thank him for giving us hope and faith in what he will do in the future. Paul makes it clear that we are to pray for all people. There is no one in the world who should be beyond the prayers of those who gather in Jesus' name. Paul tells us to pray for kings and all those in authority that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And any of us who watch the news these days know that that is a tall order. But we are called to pray. We are called to pray so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Bear in mind that Paul was writing these instructions to Timothy at a time when the Roman emperor was a wicked man named Nero, who executed his own mother and brothers to secure his place on the throne. He persecuted Christians, but yet Paul says to pray for kings and all those in authority. Paul says that prayer is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and human beings, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. So as we journey forward this year in our goal of knowing more about Jesus Christ, I think it is important that we keep the idea squarely in our minds. If there is nothing else that you remember this morning, please remember this. Jesus is the great mediator. When we were unable to save ourselves because of sin, when we had fallen so far from the will of God, Jesus came to intercede for us. In terms that we can understand, Jesus mediated this agreement between us and God, whereby we would agree to believe in Jesus and call him Lord, and Jesus would die on a cross to atone for our sins. Who do you think got the best of that deal? How can we possibly go through a day without stopping to be with God in prayer, asking, worshiping, interceding for others, and thanking God for his grace that came to us through Jesus Christ, the great mediator? On our journey, we will be learning of other characteristics of Jesus. We will learn more about his teaching. We will learn more about how we should live. But we must begin this journey by understanding that we need to pray with hope and with confidence, because Jesus has already shown that he is willing to go to great lengths to bring about God's will in our lives. This is the Lord we pray to. This is the Lord we love. And it is to the glory of Jesus Christ that we gather this morning. Amen. Let us pray. Merciful God, you call us to goodness and lead us on right paths. You encourage us with signs of your coming, and you urge us to keep watch, that we might greet you with heads raised high when you come to restore all of creation. Watching and waiting, we pray for this world that needs your saving power. In your mercy, Lord, we pray for nations at war, for all who suffer from violence. We pray for those who are sick who have fear of the future. We pray for those who are lonely, for all of those who have lost hope, or for those who have never had hope at all. And Lord, this morning we do lift to you our dear, dear sister Susie. We pray, Lord, that you will comfort her, that she will feel your presence in special, special ways. We pray, Lord, that you will keep her free from pain. And Lord, we lift to you Janet Allen Chin, as she too needs to feel your presence in her life, and that she needs to be free from suffering. Lord, we lift to you those who are recovering from illness or recovering from surgery. We pray, Lord, that they will continue in their recovery and that they will give you glory and honor. Lord, we pray for Caroline and for Shaylee as they embark on their new lives as college students, as they prepare for the future. We pray that you will bless them, that you will bless them with wisdom. But we also, Lord, pray that you will keep them safe. Keep them safe and ever mindful that you are there with them and that you are guiding them. Lord, we thank you for this congregation. We pray that you will guide us as we move into another church year. Inspire us, Lord, in ways of learning and teaching, in ways of worshiping. Inspire us so that we may truly come to know you at deeper and more meaningful ways and levels. So we lift all of this to you, Lord, with gratitude and love. We praise you, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to Him.